Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 4 of the New Adult Playbook. I'm Alyssa, and I'm here with my co-host, Micaiah.
Hey, hey. Y'all, I got a new microphone. Y'all weren't ready for me today, y'all.
Baby, we rich. We ready to go.
We are rich. That taxes came in. No, they haven't come in yet, but they will, and I will pay off my credit card when they do.
Okay, there we go. A plan. A woman with a plan. So before we get started, right quick, two things I was thinking about in the shower, like, how should I start this podcast? So first thing I wanted to mention was our little audio mishap, the syncing, just because I was like, dang, I'm annoying. So basically in episodes 2 and 3, we had a little, mishap, with the audio syncing up. And sometimes it sounded like I was completely reading your mind because I was saying things like at the exact same time that you were saying them or even before. But turns out that was not at all how it was recorded. It was just when after, post-production, it was just jacking up. So sometimes I was like, dang, am I talking over her all the time like this? Like, oh my gosh. And then other times I was like, wow, I'm just in her mind. But I promise you, that's not the case, and we're trying to solve it. We're using different platforms and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing of figuring this thing out, you figure out which platforms work. We're on the third one. Now using Skype. We first tried to use Discord. Did not go well. Craig messed us up. And then we were recording on Anchor because it was just a little bit easier, but they had however they synced and processed our audio, Alyssa said, it was just she was reading my mind. And granted, we do that in everyday life, but yeah, it's never true. that spot on.
Right. That was a bit much. I was like, how did I know she was going to say that? But I promise, shut up, I'm the number one champion. But I promise y'all that I do actually listen to what she's saying. I'm not just
See, and what's so funny is because I feel like I'm always talking over you. So it's funny when you say that and I'm just like, no, I think it's honestly the reverse.
I think that we just know each other well enough to be like, I can butt in now. But anyways, my second thing I wanted to say was happy Lunar New Year. Cause I was like, wait a second. It was definitely the Lunar New Year last week, I believe. Wow. But yeah, if anyone celebrates, I don't know. I was just thinking about it this morning.
That's fair. That is fair.
But anyways, today we're just going to jump right in. We're going to be talking about another Black topic, which I love for us as Black women.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about Black people and pop culture. Specifically, I think we're going to focus on music this time. Last time we focused on movies. And I just want to know, who are your favorite Black folks in music?
First of all, I would just like to give all the praise and adoration, although she's in some hot water right now. I love Rihanna. Rihanna is the queen of my life. I have Fenty everything, Savage Fenty everything. Mm-hmm. You name it. I sing a song of hers that you think someone won't know. I know. I would say.
I didn't know she was in hot water.
She is in hot water. So she is, and this isn't the first time she's been in hot water for this. She has been accused, and it's not even being accused, she's straight up doing it, of using religion as an aesthetic.
Oh yes.
And okay. So she posed she was modeling for something for Savage Fenty, or she was just modeling or whatever. It was kind of a risque picture, but she had I think she had Ganesh, or I don't know who she had, on a necklace. Mm-hmm. And everyone was just like, why are you doing that? Religion isn't sexy, you know what I mean?
Right.
What are you doing? And so she did that too. And regarding something, this was a few months ago, she did that too in the same point of with Islam, I think. She's a repeat offender, but you listen to her apologies and her statements on there, and I don't think she genuinely understands. Well, I think she does now after this last go round, because were at her neck, which they should have been at her neck. Mm-hmm. But I don't think she really got it. I mean, honestly, we can talk about this a little bit later.
Okay. Yeah, we can.
But yeah, so I mean, Rihanna, love her. I think my all-time favorite artist is the late great Aretha Franklin.
Yes, I was.
I am obsessed.
Yeah, she's great.
I don't know a better lady. First of all, let's just talk about her interviews. We don't even have to jump into her music.
Beautiful gowns. Beautiful gowns.
Just so
funny. That's the funniest thing I will ever hear. In that and what crack is whack.
First of all, I will never be so mad at someone for interviewing Whitney Houston in that point in time. Like Diane, wasn't it Diane?
Diane
did not
Sawyer.
Have to do that. But good on Whitney for letting her know.
Crack is whack.
It's cheap.
It's cheap. I don't smoke crack. I don't do crack. Crack is whack.
Diane was so wrong.
Diane did not have to bring that up. She was like, so, are you on crack? Are you a crackhead? Like, Diane, please. Chill
right,
out.
Please.
It's 7 a.m. Like, stop.
It's 7 a.m.
Those two are some of my favorite interview quotes from Black women. Beautiful gowns. Beautiful gowns.
And crack is whack. No, I'm with you 100%. I'm trying to think of some other iconic ones. The only one I can think of, and I wasn't even going to bring this up, but was Gail when she was talking to R. Kelly, and she was like, and he was getting all extra, and she was like, Robert.
Robert. And he was like standing up yelling at her, and she was like, Robert.
And I am by no means a Gail fan, but that was so funny to me. Like, just how calm her hand out. She's like, Robert.
Oh my gosh. Black woman. Our energy is truly unmatched, I believe. Oh, speaking of unmatched energy,
listen.
With that guitar.
I was actually watching last night. I was going down a musical rabbit hole because American Idol's new season started last week. Mm-hmm. And so I was catching up on like all the auditions that I didn't watch, but you know, just in the corner, I think it was her at the BET Awards, mm-hmm. Or something. I can't even remember the award show, but when she was singing, Make It Rain, mm-hmm. and she had the guitar and she started off and she was like, what are the lyrics? But the sins of my father. And she just like lingered with the note, like on her guitar, while she sang the note. And I was like, the power of this one moment.
She's so like, oh man, she's so good. Like I've never seen her live, but just like her stage presence, even like in pictures of her performing, I'm like, you can literally feel her stage presence through this photo. That's crazy. And like, when she brings out that clear guitar, that clear electric guitar, I go insane. Like, I'm just no longer myself. I'm just like out of body experience. That guitar, I just, oh my God, I love her. Sometimes I'd be like, don't preach to me about my generation. This generation, like, shut up.
Right. Just sing.
Talk about that. We don't need any slam poetry. We just need you to sing. But I do quite enjoy her music and her guitar skills and just like all of her, she's like good at everything. So I'm like, wow, just continue to, you know, what's that word? Like, it's not appalled. Man, floor, I guess, continue to floor us, whatever.
Yes.
My brain don't work. On the same vein, I'm also floored by Lizzo, the love of my life. So we have a Google Doc open right now, and it literally says Lizzo, the love of my life, because I love her with my whole heart.
I mean, we talked about this, in the Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, yeah, we did.
When you didn't get to see the silhouette challenge. Also, it is still up. And
Did you send it to me?
Yeah, I sent
watched
it.
Because
one of my friends sent it to me. Because they were listening to the podcast and they were like, wait, no, it's still up. And I was like, oh, yes.
Thank you to that friend, because I love Lizzo. And I was like, how did I not see? This is like me not seeing something that like Troye Sivan posted on TikTok. Like, I'm literally like eyes just completely focused on them at all times. Love them. love Lizzo. We're not talking about white boys right now, though. We're talking about black people. So.
Right.
But yeah, I love Lizzo. I love her energy. I love just really everything about her. She has inspired me in ways that most people cannot. I love her so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the best. Also, I wanted to say, real quick, side note, thank you to all of our friends for supporting us. Like,
I don't think y'all understand. Alyssa and I were, like, borderline crying. And the reason we didn't shed the tear, because I was in class and she was literally working on something else.
Yeah. It's like, I don't have time to cry, but I would.
Yes, we were like, we're going to reschedule this crying session because it's just so, it's so nice. Like,
yeah. I was like, wow, I can't believe, like, I don't know, following our Instagram and, like, following us on the Spotify page and just everything that I just really, really appreciate it. And I'm just happy to keep creating stuff that y'all will listen to, which is, I'm just, yeah. If you have any, like, ideas, too, we're open to suggestions. So, I mean, if you're a friend, you have our number, but if not, then you can comment on Instagram and let us know what you want.
Yeah.
Us to post. But yeah, anyways, or us to talk about. But yeah, I just wanted to, that was like my third thing that I meant to say earlier, but that was just beautiful. Just the support. Anyways, back to Lizzo. The other day I was watching TikToks of her and Harry Styles.
That's an iconic duo.
I know. I was like thinking, I was like, why do I love them together so much? And it's like solely because their energy is like so perfectly matched. It's just like, wow. Can you imagine having a buddy? I mean, I do have buddies that my energy is perfectly matched with, but I'm just like, wow, this is wonderful to watch. Just like their whole dynamic and just her being so completely herself and him being so completely his self, and then they get together and they're like, I'm me. I'm like, wow. Black women really do make me like want to simp for white men sometimes.
just go ahead and talk about them.
No, I'm not going to. We're talking about black. It's Black History Month. I don't need to talk about no white men. But speaking of black women who make me want to simp for white men, that one video of the black woman and John Ossoff.
John Ossoff spending dollars in our community.
I was like, this is about to make me like John Ossoff. Oh my gosh. Black women have so much power. So much power. I'm like, wow. They could, like, literally, she could have recorded an audiobook about anything under the sun and I would have listened to it. Does she have a podcast? I'll listen to it.
She should. Because her voice was electric.
It's electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie. Okay?
First of all, since we're on the topic of black music, why black people stay doing the electric slide to every song?
Stop.
Like, you can do it to every single song.
It's every song. I literally, the other day, I was listening to music in my room, and I was listening to Mac Ayers, I believe. And tell me why I started doing the electric slide to his music.
Not to Mac.
I was like, this is slow jam R&B, but I was like, can I electric slide to this? You have to try.
And most of the time, like, I would say, like, out of the hundreds of songs I've done, like, tried to do the electric slide to, I think only two I couldn't. That's just because I had to keep moving my feet real fast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to make sure you execute. You know, you could just do, like, you know, when you step to the side, you can be real, like, lame with that. When it's time to kick, baby, and it's time to turn.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta hit it.
When you do that wind up and you slap the floor.
Listen.
Ooh.
That's no feeling is unmatched when you do that. And it's so funny because like you would think like you know like when you like you take like you know like the wobble, and you know that was big at like all like parties and functions and still is because I mean it's just a very like popular dance, but after a while you get tired of doing the wobble and you're just like, I don't want to do this. I have never in my life said I will not do the electric slide.
Never. And I'm tired and the electric slide comes on, I'm like, I guess I gotta get up.
I guess I gotta go.
I don't make the rules.
Right.
It's so like just the I don't know, black people and their energy. I don't know what it is about just being around Black people and sharing something like dancing or music or whatever, I'm just like, dang, this is, it's just like that time we went skating in DC, you know?
Oh, yeah. And oh, I drove like, by there when I went to go get my braiding hair yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's still popping, too.
It was.
No, but it's just like doing something that, you know, Black people share. So it's just like something that we have adopted into Black culture, just like doing the electric slide at every function.
Every function, to every song.
To every song, and it never fails us. It's just like doing something like that that really like solidifies the community that we have, even over little things like dancing and music and skating. It's just like, wow, I really do love being Black out here. Like, we really are out here.
I know, it's so much fun. Like, especially like, I love when you were like at concerts or something and you would be like super, you know, lit with the music, like you just by yourself. And then you lock eyes, like, with another Black person, and it's all over. Y'all it's are over. Like, oh,
yeah.
And you just, like, I don't know, it's just something about it. It's like, I know you feel what I'm feeling, and mm-hmm. we about to vibe it out. I don't even know you.
Right.
And after the song is over, probably won't look at you again.
We'll never talk to you again.
Right. We had that moment. We shared that moment. You know what I mean? I love stuff like that.
Yeah. Black people, just, like, we love to hype each other up. We really, even like the little things where, you know, you get into a group of Black girls or something like that. You're like, oh, you look so pretty. They're like, no, you're pretty. Why are you? Don't tell me nothing crazy like that. Like, yo.
Right.
I'm like, okay, thank you. I was just trying to give you a compliment, but I appreciate it. It's just like the stuff that we can bond over is truly endless, because really at the end of the day, it's just our energy that we bring to every situation that we're like, wow, we Black out here,
right?
And that kind of like reminds me of Homecoming, Beyonce's like Coachella, if you will, how it was like, I mean, I didn't go to an HBCU, and I know you didn't either, but just
don't
like
speak for me,
don't.
I'm just playing. We graduated from this.
I don't even know what to say to that. Like, I was like almost speechless there. I was like, wait, what? Shut up. You're so annoying. Anyways,
right.
We both did not go to HBCUs. I was like, dang, did she?
But we're in the same school, same college, same classes.
We graduated. You was right behind me. I was like, wait, did she go to HBCU? Oh my gosh. You're a clown. Anyways, neither of us went to HBCUs, which, by the way, I don't know if everyone, sometimes people ask me what HBCU means, but it means historically Black college or university. So basically they were built way back when, not that long ago, for only Black people, because Black people weren't allowed into white schools. And now they are like really big, I guess, hubs for Black culture, like for Homecoming and really mostly just Homecoming. Everyone, even if you didn't go to the school, you're still going to Homecoming, because we went to Howard's Homecoming.
Yeah, we went to Howard's Homecoming, and although we were late and had to fight for our lives on the bus.
Oh my gosh, we almost got shot. that was a ride.
That was a ride, and it was started by a Black man playing his music too loud.
Too loud, and we was like, dang, he really said, I don't care about our lives.
Right, y'all, so we'll just set the scene. So this guy was on the bus playing his music really loud with a speaker, and yeah, so everybody was just like, annoyed, or like we're just ignoring the situation. Like me and you were just like, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
like because I mean the music wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, we were just like, okay, whatever, no big deal. But someone got on the bus and they were just like, I just got out of jail, you don't stop playing that music, like, oh my mama, I'ma shoot. And me and Alyssa like, listen, we just trying to get back to Capitol Hill. We were both looking for like the nearest exit. We were like, how do we get out of here?
You're like, how close how close are we to home that, you know, can maybe we can walk or.
Right, right. And the thing is, we were nowhere near home.
Nowhere near. We were like, maybe we can get off and take the metro. There's not a lot of metro stops over there either. So we was just like, are we about to die? And then this other lady was egging him on, too. She was like, I have a knife. I was like, stop, stop. Right. Please.
Like, it is not serious. This man is just vibing with his music. And again, I see how it can be annoying, but like, there's so many problems in the world. This man playing whatever he was playing is not one of them.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I was like, wow, we are really, wow. I was just so shocked and appalled that people were threatening this man for playing music. And then a funny thing was that this lady, she was white. The white lady came up to him and said, hey, can you turn off your music? It's kind of loud. And then he turned it off. I was like, they was about to shoot you, dude.
I know. But like, it was, I think like literally like she asked so nicely, but everyone else that asked him, like they were like, I got a freaking headache.
Yeah.
Turn this off right now. I just been on the shift 12 hours. And I'm pretty sure he turned it up.
Yeah, he did. He did. He turned it up. I was like, oh my gosh. I think after that, we did take the bus again after that, just not around there. Cause we was like, okay.
Yeah, we took it to get pizza.
Giant pizza. Yeah. That was fun. But yeah, that was a little, that was a bit much. I was like, okay, I'm never coming back here again.
Right. But anyways, homecoming though, the little bit that we were there, like we weren't there long. Like we saw them like perform out in the yard, and it was like the little battle of the bands almost.
That was so cool.
Yeah, that was so cool, and it was super fun. And then from there, we just like walked around and like ate food and all this other stuff. And one, it was just like very nice just to be around black people.
yeah.
And you just didn't have to worry about anything, and it was a good time, but. Yeah. Too, like you just saw like how connected they were through the music. Like,
yeah,
I remember like there were people like hopping over like the fence, and like we were all standing in weird areas so we could hear like the bands perform and stuff like that. And right. Everyone was like having a good time. There were people behind us making comments. We was all talking like, oh, they did a good job. Oh, mm-hmm. They did. Oh, la, la, la.
Yeah, we was all chatting.
Yeah, like we was all buddies. Right, like we was buddies. I don't even know what they look like.
Neither.
Even
I cannot
in that
remember.
Moment, I didn't know what they looked like. But I mean, yeah, it was just so much fun, the culture that just like surrounds it. Cause I mean, we didn't have that like at, you know, at UGA or anything. Or I mean, in high school, we went to high school in Buford.
Yeah.
Or well, Gwinnett.
Flani. Yeah.
Yeah. Flani. And I mean, we didn't have that. They were playing freaking Star Wars at our
right
at our high school band, which is nothing's wrong with that. Yeah. But I was like, if you ever went to like somewhere like in DeKalb County or something, you listen to their bands get down, and they have like a major, and you know, just all these like different, you know, components that make up their band and the music that goes along with it. It's insane.
Yeah, yeah. Our band, like at least I feel like it was my junior year. I believe our drum major was black, so he was out there doing his thing. I said, oh, okay. And even though I went to a very white high school, super white, well, it wasn't super white. It was just not a lot of black people. It was like white and Asian people, not that many black people, but somehow he was among the best. He became drum major, and we played like, I believe Michael Jackson, you know, stuff like that. That was pretty cool. But still, I had never experienced something that was like so deeply black with marching band besides that time at Howard. And I believe homecoming as in the Coachella performance was the year before we went to, maybe, or 2 years before. I think it was our sophomore year of college.
I think it was like that. Two.
So yeah, I was like, at that time, I had never experienced anything like that. I just had heard about it or like watched, you know, videos about it, movies or whatever. And I was like, this is so cool that, you know, we are all witnessing this big production kind of all at the same time. And then they came out with the Netflix thing after it. And I was like, wow, she really like, I don't know. I feel like there was some people who had gone to or graduated from an HBCU who I read were a little bit like pressed about that performance. But yeah, I mean, I personally, someone who went to a PWI, was like, this is really cool.
Yeah, I like my mom and my grandma and my aunts, like my aunt went to an HBCU. And we would always go visit her during homecoming and stuff like that. And we were really like, I was, you know, used to that culture there. It hadn't been the first time that I'd seen it. And honestly, I just think about like how like exhausting those weekends are. Like there's like, it's like a good fun. Like at the end, you're just like, whoo, I need to recover. Yeah. But it's so much like moving elements. And we also like in Atlanta, we used to go to Battle of the Bands, which was, you know, this huge like competition. And it's just different bands coming from everywhere, you know, performing and doing stuff like that. So that was another like outward display that I remember growing up when we went like every year. I don't know if they still do it. I don't think that they do, or they're trying to revamp it or something. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's super, I don't know. It's, I feel like now it's super rare, or it's just not in our face maybe as much.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, I remember talking about it all the time. And I think just as I grew up and we moved to different spaces and I went to high school and like, you know, in a white private Christian school, like we just didn't talk about that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Funny story about that. I remember one time we were playing someone from, I really want to say it might've been Brookwood, or I don't know who we were playing, but they were black and they came over. And our band was playing, you know, their songs. And I love that. And, you know, they were doing a good job. They were getting the crowd hype. Listen, whenever what a team we played, their band stepped on the field. It was funny because all of the black people that were like from my school got up and went and sat on the visitor side. When I say were jamming, I was like, oh, okay. Okay, like literally all decked out. They had on green too. I remember that. They had on green, and all of us, like our school colors were red, black, and white. All of us had on red, and we go over there. So we're not from there. And I remember someone was like, one of the people, they were like, are you guys making fun of us? And we were like, no, like we need this, you know, like we are literally, and I don't care if you this about this football game, because I'm having so much time listening to y'all band, seeing y'all's like drumettes and drum majors and stuff like that. Y'all twirling batons, y'all out here playing the music. Like, and it was just so cool. It was very funny just to see everyone's reaction, because it was like, as soon as they started playing, you saw one black person get up and go. Then you saw the next black person get up and go. Then you saw
all so dirty.
It was so funny.
Back on the topic of Beachella, though, I think that, like, after that Coachella performance and the subsequent Netflix movie documentary thing, whatever it was, it kind of, like, there was a little shift in the music atmosphere, I guess you could say, because her performance was so big. And one of the reasons it was so big was because she missed her last performance that she was supposed to be at because she was pregnant. But that performance was so big, and there was a movie, and there was an album, and there was this, and there was that, whatever. And after that, I feel like the folks, as in the non-black folks in the music industry, were trying to like scramble to be like, oh my gosh, I need to be up here with Beyonce too. Like, I need to have a huge performance, I need to have a movie, I need to have an album, like a live album. Because I remember like shortly after that, Ariana Grande came out with a live album. And I'm not saying that live albums were invented by Beyonce, because they definitely weren't. It was just like so coincidental that I was like, this is not a coincidence, you know?
Yeah.
I think Taylor Swift did the same thing. And we were like, girl, anyways. But like that thing, like Beyonce, you know, doing all of that over one performance was such a like big trend, like set right there in that year, that everyone was like, oh my gosh, I need to be on top of this too, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, even though Beyonce is huge, so obviously she's going to be a trendsetter because she's so big, I feel like Black people in general are just trendsetters. Like that, like in the African American History Museum where it says God created Black people and Black people created style. Like, is that not us? Is that not us?
No, no, seriously. Like, I just think like it's funny. Well, not that it happens, but I think like every single day you see something else in like the news of like this huge, like, oh, let's take TikTok dances, for example.
Yeah.
Renegade blew up. Like, you know, I don't even know how they do it. Renegade, you know, however they be twirling their hands. Right. But like you take the Renegade, for example, that was started by a young Black teen and she did her thing. And, you know, you had all these white like content creators, and I'm not saying they're just like out here stealing, you know, I think they saw it and thought it was cool, but like it was, you know, just didn't give credit. Which also, we talk about plagiarism in school. Obviously, the American education system continues to fail us. But anyways, moving on. But in the sense, like, we see, like, they never got, like, credit for it. And they started these, like, massive dances. Like, Beyonce started this massive, like, again, she didn't create live albums. But when she did it, it was pivotal to the industry. And everyone was like, oh, my God, now we have to do exactly what she did.
Right.
So, like, it's like they start these trends. And, again, Beyonce will always get credit because it's Beyonce. But when you get down to, like, smaller people, of course, they're not, they necessarily don't get their credit.
Yeah. And that's, like, even with Beyonce, because I remember when the Spirit video came out for Lion King and everyone was like, have we not seen this video before? And it was like somebody, now Beyonce stans don't come for me. I just, you know,
we
I haven't
appreciate
like,
her talent and her
oh,
art.
Oh yeah. I love Spirit. I love the video, but I was like, this is interesting that, you know, this smaller creator made a video that was very, very, very similar. And then Beyonce comes out with the, you know, her video for Spirit, and everyone's like, no, it's not copied. It's not copied. And I'm like, I don't think it matters if it was copied or not, because, you know, that's what artists, that's what like art is. It's just like taking the same things and changing them slightly to fit how you are, your style, whatever. But it's more like, why doesn't the original person ever get credit, you know? And I feel like that's really just like Black people in a nutshell. Just like our history, it's like we made these things, Black people created music, and you cannot tell me, nobody can convince me otherwise. Black people created music.
I love when I have to go down the rabbit hole of like rock and roll and country music.
Yes. Oh,
and how
oh
that
my gosh.
Came from Black women, and I'm like, ooh.
I know it hurts. I know it hurts. Literally. I feel like all the things that people say are like white people music now, it's just stuff that Black people created and then let go of, you know? It's like, dang, we really created all this stuff, but we are not the ones who get credit. Like Elvis Presley, for example, hate that man, but he took everything from Black people. Like all of his popular songs, Black people, like every single one.
Yeah, I remember, like, I can't even think of the song, but I originally just heard Elvis sing it, just Elvis. Mm-hmm. And I was driving back, and sometimes I like to put on, like we have SiriusXM, because my mom, I don't even know why we're still listening to the radio, but moving on. I was listening, my aux cord broke, so I was like, let me turn on the Motown, you know, radio, because I listened to Motown an ungodly amount. And they play older hits, like, they just lump it all together in the Motown. But of course they play like older hits that come way before that era. Mm-hmm. And one of those songs came on and I was like, who is this Black man singing this Elvis song? And I look it up and it was Elvis singing that Black man song. I was like, oh.
Oh, okay. Elvis. Right. Oh, I can't stand
it. Oh my gosh. He's and it's not one of those things where like we hear like it's a cover. Like, no, like, Elvis claimed, like, when I did my research, and I hate that I can't remember the song, like, no, he claimed that song.
Yeah.
And I was like, sir.
yeah. It's like, because Whitney Houston only did covers. So it's not like that in the way that everybody knows that Whitney Houston, like, none of her songs were, like, her songs, you know? Like,
yeah.
Everybody knows that. So it's not like we're like, oh my God, Whitney Houston stole this from Dolly Parton. Like, Dolly Parton knows. Right. she knows.
I hate that we just didn't even mention the greatest singer of all time, Whitney Houston, in our why. Okay,
we did, but just to say that crack is whack.
Listen, Alyssa and I probably twice a month, we revisit how Whitney Houston took Francis Scott Key's song, the national anthem, that Star Spangled Banner, and slapped him in the face with it. Listen, baby, she showed up in that tracksuit to that Super Bowl. She said, listen, I got somewhere to be at 3. Y'all taking up my time. Let me sing this here song so I can go. She didn't bust a sweat. Her everything was still intact. And she was like, play ball, and walked away.
And she left. She never to be seen again at the game at all. She was just like, I'm gone. Bye, y'all. She killed that.
And it's so simple and so beautiful. And but whatever. I don't know.
I feel like truly everybody who sings the national anthem after her is like, I need to be like her. And you just can't do it. Don't try.
You can't do it.
It's okay.
They be straining their voice, forgetting words.
And the rockets red glare. The bombs bursting in air.
Who am I? Fergie.
Fergie at the All-Star game. That's me.
So, say,
does that Star Spangled?
The thing, what killed me is everybody was good until Draymond Green started laughing. I was like, why did y'all pan to him?
they really messed up by panning to him, because after him, everybody was laughing.
Right, we saw Chance the Rapper.
Was there laughing. Yes. Everybody was there. Steph Curry was like, oh.
And what killed me was, and honestly, go off, queen. What killed me was she was like, no, that was beautiful. I have no regrets. I love the rendition. And we were just like, ma'am.
Said Fergie, are you sure? Are you sure? Okay.
So funny.
Yeah, the Star Spangled Banner is we can put all the racism aside for a second. The Star Spangled Banner is a beautiful song. It doesn't need all this extra embellishment. And Whitney understood that. She said, I'm going to just do it how it was written. Yeah. And I'm going to do it beautifully. And look, I just, amazing. I just love Black people. I just love Black people. They're singing, or are singing, I guess. I am Black. I always do that. I'm like, oh, yeah, they, I'm not Black. I was on the phone yesterday, and the lady, it was like with the Department of Health. She was asking about my demographics, I guess. And she was like, what race and ethnicity are you? Or like that you identify with? I was like, I'm Black American. I was like, that's not an ethnicity. But it's not. But also, I feel like there's an argument there. Like, I didn't mean American as a nationality. I meant like Black American as in the culture.
Yeah.
But I was like, I sound stupid. She was like, are you Hispanic or no? I was like, no.
She really could have sent you that in an email to help you out there.
Right. I was like, dang, man. Now I look stupid. Like, I know what I meant, but I know she was like, what? We know that you're American. Oh, gosh. Anyways. That's so off topic. It don't matter, though. Oh, something else that I want to talk about that is not at all in our outline. But it's okay. We're going off script, baby.
Wow. Who are we?
I know. We're never on script. But
so fair.
I started reading this book about Black sirens or Black mermaids / sirens, whatever. And it's like a YA book. And they're like Black women. They're like mythical creatures. There's magic in the world and all this stuff. And I'm pretty sure I'm not going to finish reading it because I hate the writing style. I really don't like the book at all. But something that really, really bothers me, I don't know if you have encountered this thing as well, Something that really bothers me in books that are about black people, specifically black women, is that they try so hard to like punch the point that this is about a black woman, you know? Because in the book they'll be like, oh, I'm looking, you know, there's this natural hair YouTuber that I just like always go to for comfort. She's like my comfort natural hair YouTuber, and she taught me about twists and the LOC method, and I know some. I'm like, why do you need to put all this in here? We understand you're black, we get it. You don't have to keep going like, oh well, my twists hang, they're so nappy in my face. Like, why?
Right.
It's just so like, okay. Because I feel like on one end, you know, coming from like our representation conversation from last week, on one end it's like, okay, well, we don't see a lot of like natural women in books and TV or movies. We don't see a lot of like this or that or that. But then there's also like overkill sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Where, like,
oh, well, I'm a beautiful, you know, voluptuous black woman. My curves, I am so black. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I read this one book, and it was about, I can't even remember, I read it so long ago, but basically the main character, she was like, I walked outside and the melanin in my skin tingled. Girl, you know, ain't no melanin in your skin tingling. You're sweating. Your pores are tingling. Like, I was like, what? Okay. Thank you.
How does that even work? What does that mean?
I would like to know. So, that sounds like you need to go to the hospital.
Right. Please.
If you can feel the melanin in your skin tingling.
Yeah.
Oh my, I was like, what am I reading?
Oh, I hate stuff like that. I'm like in some ways I'm like, okay, I should read these books because it helps out black people and like get more representation, all this stuff. But I'm like, if this is cringy, I'm not gonna read it.
Right.
Like, I understand that you're trying to, you know, create a new portrayal, like positivity around natural hair and like dark skin and all this stuff, but I'm like, girl, anyways, we don't have to do any of this. Like, it's just very unnecessary. And then I start reading a different book that also has a black woman protagonist, and it's just like the complete opposite, where she's like, yeah, I'm black and I have black people hair. And I'm like, there we go,
right,
we can move on, because right, it doesn't need to keep coming up. It's just so like, I don't know, I was like, why? I don't know why it annoys me so much. I'm just like, okay, we get it. We don't have to keep going. But I think in one of the books they actually brought up how black people are portrayed in media, or black women specifically in media, and how like they don't fit the like black woman body type stereotype. I was like, you're hurting me. I don't want to read about this. I came here to read about mermaids.
Right. Speaking of mermaids, let's talk about my new favorite mermaid. Hallie.
Oh.
Y'all, I'm so excited for Little Mermaid. I'm not even like originally like a Little Mermaid stan, and we probably should have mentioned this last week, but I am so excited for the angelic vocals that is about to come from this woman. And if you don't know who Hallie is, she's in a group with her sister. Is it Chloe X Hallie? Or is it
that? Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And they, oh my gosh, check out, first of all, their newest album, won Grammys with it. So good. They're fantastic singers. And anyways, so Hallie, she had a lot of backlash about being a mermaid because she's black, and I didn't know that mermaids had color, you know. I just thought this was a mythical creature.
Right.
But apparently they can't be black. So anyways. However,
they can be every color but black.
Can have any color hair, can do whatever. Yeah, your melanin better not be tingling.
No. It better not tingle at the bottom of the ocean.
It better not
put that
tingle.
Melanin back. Disgusting.
Disgusting. But no, so it was super, I don't know, I'm just excited for that. I realized when I was listening back last week, I was like, why didn't we talk about this? I'm so excited for that movie to come out.
Me too.
But anyways, and like in things like that, like I just because again, you're just like, I want like the representation, and then but when you, like you said, when you overkill it, and then you're just like, I'm uncomfortable. And then you just see how, like, in the media, like, you you know, just like Black women can never just be like, they either have to look this way or do this or be a certain way. But no matter the body type, if you notice, or the how that Black woman looks or whatever, some of that is literally like stripped. They strip it to make like the perfect person. And it's all features that are built off of Black women. Mm-hmm. And then they hypersexualize us, but then it's okay for someone. You know, there's just so much loaded stuff in that whole how Black women are portrayed.
I feel like with books or TV shows, whatever, like that push, keep pushing, like, oh, she's a Black woman, she does these Black woman things, she does this, she does that, and she's Black. It's like they're trying to prove their Blackness to us, you know? Like they're not. It's like, okay, you told me that she was Black. You don't have to keep saying, oh, she's Black because she does this. She's Black because she does this. Like, doing something doesn't make you Black or not Black. Like, I remember one time my brother told me.
You're wrong because you talk Black, Alyssa.
Excuse me?
Speaking of that, I'm just, you know, stuff like that. They're just like, oh, my God, you talk Black or you talk. What does that mean? What does that look like? I've never understood that when they were just like.
I mean, I can't even get into it. But I remember one time my brother told me, he was like, there's no such thing as like doing something that's white or doing something that's Black or having to do things that are Black to make you more Black. He was like, if I do something, it's Black because I'm Black. I was like, you're right. Yeah. That's literally it. They're like, oh, Black people can't do this. They're not supposed to do this. They're not supposed to do that. It's like, well, I'm still Black and I'm doing it. So.
Therefore,
it's Black.
thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Right, that's it. Therefore, it's Black. That's what I'm going to call my TED Talk.
Kind of slaps.
Okay, look.
Therefore, it's Black. A case study on roll, bounce, and moonlight.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even watch it.
I watched half of it and then I fell asleep, but not because it wasn't good. I decided to put it on at 2 a.m.
I understand. I'm gonna get to it. We're gonna get to it eventually. Anyways, but on the same topic of like taking things from Black women and putting them on other people, this is something that I feel like we see so much in influencer culture, like Instagram, Instafluencer. Is that a thing?
Instafluencers?
Yeah.
I think it's just influences.
But, like, I kind of did something there. Didn't I kind of do something there?
Look.
Influencer talk. TikTok influencer. That's the saying.
You gotta go.
I'm sorry.
Influencers. That's what they're called from now on.
I can't let go of that. Anyway, in influencer culture, I'm not going to say that again.
Don't worry, y'all. She's talking about Instafluencers.
I thought I'd seen it somewhere before, but I guess not. In my mind, I'm probably, it was a dream. You know how I be. I don't know what's real and what's not. Anyways, it's fair. I watched this one video that was called Beauty is in the Eye of the Colonizer. And it was like, I know. That's a TED Talk. That was the video that, like, I was like, I should start doing video essays. Because I watched so many in one day. But anyways, it's a great video. You should definitely watch it. I forget what the person's name was that did it. But you can just look up Beauty is in the Eye of the Colonizer and it'll show up. Anyways. She was talking about how people, I believe it was this video or one of her many other ones. But anyway, she was talking about how back years ago, scientists were like, by this, you know, 2035 or something like that, people will be so racially ambiguous that we just won't have race anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that, like, people now are racially ambiguous because of the things that they take from every culture and put onto their face, you know? So you have like the small like button nose And then you have the big, like, black people lips. And then you have the eyes that are trying to, like, the whole, like, fox eye trend, which is racist. But we can get into that another day.
Right.
but, you know, you have like, all these things that are from different regions of the world that make people look racially ambiguous. And then they tan their skin, like, crazy dark. And you're like, that's black. But then your eyes are... You're trying to make your eyes look Asian and you're trying to make your nose look like tiny button, yeah. Which I don't even know where that comes from.
I really just got triggered when you said tan skin. just from, you know, being black and going to basically a predominantly white high school, when they would come up to you and be like, oh my God, I'm just as tan, or I'm just tan as you, or just as black as you. And I'm like,
I'm darker than you. You're like, oh no.
I get as dark as you in the sun. I'm sure you don't. I'm really sure you
I'm
don't.
Positive that you do not
I'm
get as
positive
dark as
my melanin tingles and yours does. Like,
because my melanin tingles and yours don't.
Like, oh my gosh, like, oh, I'm sorry, I just really got triggered when you said
I completely had erased that from my mind. I did not want to think about that ever again.
Yeah,
sometimes I had, like, because like I said, my high school was like white and Asian, so, you know, Asian people also come in all complexions. They're not just, like, you know, pale.
Yeah.
So there was this one girl, I remember, in my physics class one day came in, and she, like, starts comparing her arm to this Asian guy in my class, and she's like, I'm darker than you. And I was like, stop, please.
Right.
What does this white people to do that?
I don't. When I tell you, I have no idea. And every time someone would say that to me, I'm just like, I don't. How do you want me to respond to that? Because I literally, and here another point, like, I get, like, condemned and berated and abused and whatever because I am this dark, and you're gonna come up to me and be like, oh my God, I'm just as dark as, get the hell out of my face.
Like, I might as well be black. You're like, no.
You don't even understand the weight that comes with being, and I don't even, like we talked about, well, you talked about this in an earlier podcast, how you consider yourself brown. Like, as when I was a kid, I thought I was, like, on the end of the dark spectrum. Just because I just thought, like, I mean, I was the darkest person that I was ever around. You know what I mean? And then I grow up and I realize there's so many more beautiful shades and complexions and skin tones and moving on. So I realize I'm really smack dead in the middle there.
Right.
But at the time, I didn't know that. So I'm over here thinking, like, oh my gosh. Like, I remember one time I told my mom, I was like, I don't want to go outside. Because outside, I play tennis in the summer. And I was like, I don't want to be outside any longer than that because I don't want to get darker than what I am right now. Because I was like, I don't want to deal with them at school when I go back. Mm-hmm. I remember she looked at me and she was like, girl, if you don't go outside. And I was like, ah.
That was such a big thing in the summertime. Before I started getting silk presses, I would go outside a lot. I was okay with sweating and all this stuff. And then around the time that I started getting them, and I was, like, in seventh grade, and I also, like, was not natural. I was natural, but I was straightening my hair. So I was like, I don't want to sweat, and I don't want to get any darker than I already am, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'd be out in the sun, you'd be like, I can feel myself getting darker. I need to go inside.
Right.
I was like, why are we so – honestly, now I still don't go outside that often, but I like in the summertime where I'm a little bit darker than I usually am. I'm like, this is kind of – you know, the sun loves me.
Right. Like, as soon as I got older and I got away from, like, oh, I don't want to get darker – I was like, whenever I tanned, I was like, baby, who is she? Now I'd be trying to be outside every day.
I know.
Like, hit my face.
Please. I'm, like, so pressed that I can't go outside. Like, I could go outside. It's just way too cold sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck? But, yeah, it's just, like, that whole, like, you know, I don't want to get any darker. I remember one time my cousin said to me, he's pretty light. And he said, he was like, we were at Six Flags, first mistake. And he was like, I don't want to get any darker than I already am. So we need to go inside right now. And I was like, you're not dark. You're literally at least five shades lighter than I am, at least. And he was pretty light skinned. And I was like, I'm telling your mom on you. And she made him apologize to me because, like, I was darker than him. And also his sister is dark skinned as well. And or, like, you know, dark skin, quote unquote,
yeah,
like brown, and we was like, we were both like, excuse me, sir, why would you say something like that? And he was like, right. I'm sorry. But he, you know, we were young, and it was, I was just now getting into the time when I was like, I'm okay with being as the color that I am and all this mm-hmm. stuff. But it's just like, why were we like that? Like, I know why. Why did we have to go through that? And then now people are able to just like blackfish and get super tans and just be super dark. Even like that TikTok thing that this one girl does where she's like, guess if it's a black person or a white girl with a tan. Have you seen that?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I always feel like I'm an expert. I have yet to get one wrong.
No, I'd be good at it too. I'm like, this is so fun.
I'm like, I know who these people are. Honestly, you can just tell. But like, I mean, well, I think we can. But yeah. I mean, obviously, like, she poses that question for a reason because of the thing. And I'm not saying like, I'm not, if you go out and tan, do what you want to do. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You know what I mean? But don't sit up here and completely appropriate a culture. Like,
a skin color. Like, like, how are you out here taking a whole skin color?
Yeah.
Like, and then it's just like crazy because along with like the skin color darkness, this is also completely off topic from what we said we were going to talk about, which was music. But
I mean, last week we got into books. We were supposed to be talking about films.
Anyway, we're like blackfishing. But along with like the darker skin complexion also comes like an interest in like R&B or like, you know, something that's like very much black music or whatever. It also comes with like a change in the way that they speak dialectically, and then on top of that it comes with like an older image. So I remember reading one thing about Ariana and her tan over time, Ariana Grande, mm-hmm. her tan over time and her change in music over time and all this stuff, and they were like, when she was coming out with like Yours Truly, My Everything, a little bit Dangerous Woman, but she was kind of getting into the tan stages then, she was like very much, I'm a cute kid. Not, I mean, she wasn't a kid, but you know, she was like, I'm cute, I'm young, I'm making fun music, I'm doing all this. And then when she wanted to grow up, she started getting tans. So it was like, not only do we associate these tans with blackness and like doing R&B music and whatever, we also are associating these tans with being older. So not only are black women and black girls over-sexualized because we're, you know, they're also seen as way older than they actually are because people are using these tans to be like, oh, wait, I'm older than I was in the first half of my career. So I'm going to get a tan so I can look older, you know, look more black, look, you know.
Yeah.
So
I'm like,
I think about that too often.
Yeah. I never pieced that together, like, ever. But, I mean, now that you say that, like,
it makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. And yeah. I think, like, I know some people, like, listening to this would be completely, confused. But, like, from my, like, perspective, I've always been seen as, like, mature or blah, blah, blah. I know some people listen to this and, like, you're the most childish person we know.
Same.
But, like, in senses where, like, we're put into those spaces, like, I'm not looked at as a child, or I'm not looked at like I'm 22. Like, people think I'm grown with kids. You know what I mean? Or, you know, I mean, you get what I'm saying, because I'm sure you've been in those spaces where you're just like, I'm 12. And they're like, you're a grown woman. And you're like, I'm a child.
I usually get the opposite because I'm like short and I'm skinny. So I get, oh, you look like you're in high school. Or you look, you know, I'm like, why can't we ever just, like, because I don't think, I personally, like, I know that I look young, but I know that I don't look like I'm in high school. But you know what? There's something there with how people perceive age with black people is so off. It's so off.
Yeah, it's either, because, again, we're 12 or 45. Take your
Exactly. Because, you know, when Khalid and, like, around that time when, like, Designer was popular, which I, what happened to him? I don't know.
Look, he made Panda. He said,
I'm out.
He said, I done made this money.
I'm at these EDM festivals, and right. what I'm gonna do is leave and collect my coin.
I don't blame him. If I had one song like that, listen. Example, Lauryn Hill, fantastic artist. Homegirl got one album. She's been rocking with that one album. And that's not to say she hasn't made other music or featured in other songs or whatever. Rocking with this one album. If I could do that, baby.
Baby, I'd be out. Anyways, around the time when Designer was popular and like Khalid was also, he is currently popular, but Khalid was like growing in popularity at the time. I remember people being so surprised at how young they are. And Khalid is our age, I believe. I believe he's our, like, literally in the same year, our age. And Designer was born a year before us, so he's a little older than us. But I was like, these guys look like 18-year-old black boys to me. You know, they don't look like they're 45. They don't look old. They don't look young. They look like 18-year-old black boys. But to everyone else, they see, like, the beard and the hair and, like, the height and all this stuff. And they're like, oh, my gosh, you must be at least 30. I'm like, no, yeah. no. It's just so weird to think about how people perceive black people and how much that, like, hurts us in the end, you know, because they're like, oh, well, you should get this because you're older, or you should, you know, you shouldn't do this. You should know better. You should whatever. I'm mm-hmm. like, but no, like we're getting, not to make this political, but you know how it has to be. you know, we're getting like more sentences in court. We're getting like, you know, we're getting like literally attacked and all this stuff just because they think we look like adults when we actually aren't, or they think we should be adults when we're like 12.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But anyways, that whole conversation was so off topic.
It's fine. Okay. I mean, we prefaced we were about to go off script.
That's true. That is so true. Y'all got what you came here for, because I told you. We're never on script. But I did still want to end with our original scripted question. So we'll end with this. Last question. Should we support black people blindly just because they're black?
No.
No. The end. Bye, guys. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. And I say this, I mean, of course, like, in some cases, there is a level of, like, like, I feel bad because that's your management team not taking care of you. Like, yikes. However, there are some cases if you know, I'm not just going to support you just to support you. If you're doing something wrong out here and I don't agree with it, it doesn't align with my morals, I don't care. You could be black, white, you know, Asian. Like, I go down the line. I'm not going to support you.
Right.
And again, I think I feel like I hold the same degree. I was going to say I tend to be more sympathetic towards black people, but I think I don't. I think I hold the same level of degree of expectation. And granted, that's not like a high expectation. It's just, you know, human decency and right. respecting people. Right. shouldn't be people. Oh my gosh, I just people be like, all I in my relationship, like, I just want loyalty and but sweetie, that's the bottom line. That like
is,
you,
the bar is on the ground. The bar is bar in hell.
Literally. It's in hell. And but anyways, that was off topic. But I'm just saying, like, in the sense of, like, I'm not just going to support you blindly, because, I mean, if you do something stupid or you do something messed up or you do something that's just like, I'm not going to say unforgivable because everyone is forgiven, or I don't know. I'm just, yeah, whatever. I'm just not going to just continue to support you, you know?
Right. Yeah. I feel the same way. I'm like, I intentionally support black people when I can. Honestly, I intentionally try to support non-white people when I can, just because it's I know how hard it is to like get, you know, your foot in any door, so I try, but I will never like just be like, oh well, they're black, it's okay, you know. It's
right.
Never ever in my life will I ever do that, because I honestly, like, I'm kind of the opposite. I feel like I'm a little bit harder on black people just because I know that it doesn't have to be, you know, they don't have to be like that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's like, I didn't think about that point. Like why? Like,
right.
You are, like, you know what's about to happen. Like,
right.
Like, dude.
Yeah, I'm like, we were basically all raised with the same way, basically,
yeah.
With the same stuff. So I'm like, if I know better than to do that, then you should know better too. You know, we're both, yeah. You know, around the same. It's just, I'm like, dang, y'all really out here acting a fool, and for what? But that's just me. I'm like, I know you guys can be better than this. I know that you know how to apologize. I know that, you know. So I'm like, okay, anyways, I can just withdraw my support and move on, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of like the same question where people are like, I'm a feminist, so I need to support all women. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
No. Priyanka, don't expect me to support anytime soon.
Why was she the first one that she...
Because I was just watching a video of the Voice is coming back, of course, and Joe Jonas is a new judge. And I was like, oh, that means we're about to hear some more stupid stuff from Priyanka. I just... but no, literally, it's like it's like you said, this along the same lines. Like, no, I'm not gonna support all women. Candace Owens, no, sorry,
I hate you.
What's her name? Tommy.
Whatever.
Lauren.
Tomato. Laurel. Whatever name it.
I think it's Tommy Lahren. I think I honestly don't know her name. I know her face.
Yeah, I know that gun girl. Yeah.
I was literally about to say gun girl.
Kristen.
Caitlin.
Caitlin. I knew it was a K.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not supporting her.
Yeah, like same difference. I can list so many like black people that, you know, not supporting, but
yeah. Bill Cosby.
I was watching that video of him at the courthouse the other day when he, like, you know, he was like,
did that thing, yes. That's the, like, funniest thing ever. We was all like, what is he doing? But yeah, oh my gosh, never. Bill Cosby,
this man said this entire trial is a joke. Y'all thought I was going to jail, living lavish up here.
Right. Oh man, that's a whole other conversation for a whole other day. He's among the black people that I will not support. Because why would I?
Right. Oprah. No.
Are you playing though? You know, Oprah said, I'm rich. Y'all get on my level. Remember when she did that thing with the guy tried to take a selfie with her and she was like, your phone cracked up.
And her PR team had to quickly send him a phone and be like, oh, here you go.
Yeah. They're all like, okay, Oprah, like, not everybody is rich, dang.
Right, when she came for R. Kelly, but not Harvey, I'll wait.
Oh, we could talk about it. Not right now. But...
No, I mean, I can list a lot of people. And then, I mean, like,
your dad made?
Huh?
What was that shirt that your dad made? He's like, Oprah and Gail don't care about black people or something like that. That was so funny.
I'm trying to think. If I know I sent you a picture, and if we don't send so many pictures back and forth, I would scroll through and look for it. This man has a shirt for every single occasion. I remember after George Floyd's murder, honestly, it might have been the same day. Homeboy had a shirt. And I was like, I didn't even know what his shirt was talking about because I wasn't even familiar with what was going on. And then when it processed to me, I was like, he went and printed a shirt.
He said, I'm on top of things. That Oprah and Gayle King one killed me. I was like, not, they don't care about black people. I was like, oh, that's hilarious. He still never made me my shirt. Open your purse.
Oh, I'm going to call him.
Tell him I need my shirt. Anyways, off topic, but yeah. So bottom line, no, we should not support black people blindly, but we should support black people in general. We should support people, like, because like I said, it's hard out here to really get to, you know, to get your foot in any door whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And especially, like, there are certain fields that it's, like, way harder in. Mm-hmm. So, any, like, even, like, y'all supporting us two Black women creators is so, like, I don't know. We already talked about it, but it's just very much, like, so appreciated. Just because we know how hard it is, you know, you get when you know, we're not to me, at least, I don't think our content is mediocre, but some people can get away with mediocre content. Black people cannot. Unless you're King Badge.
King Badge, or what's his name? Whatever his actual name is, Mitra on Mars. What was his name?
Oh, Demetrius Harmon.
Demetrius Harmon. He said, "You matter. Put out on a shirt."
Put that on a shirt. Put it on a shirt right now.
And sell your money. I'm not even mad at it.
They said depression money. Here you go.
Here we go. Here we go.
And then on top of that, they're both men. So there goes another thing.
Right.
Yikes. Okay. I hope King Batch hears this. You're lame.
Call him lame again.
I will. King Batch, you're lame. You can't even act.
Except for that one vine with the spaghetti.
With the spaghetti. That's the funniest thing he ever came out with.
When I say that's probably like one of my top 10. I have a lot of favorite vines. That might be number 10.
I don't know
the way he was so crying and that spaghetti was on that ground.
Yes.
Coming out of his pocket.
That was like his best performance. He's been in many movies. He's been in a lot of stuff. That right there was his best performance. The spaghetti.
It's so good. But no, I wanted to hit on your point about just really quick about men just putting out like mediocre stuff and it's okay. You remember when Ed Sheeran and Beyonce were performing together and this man was in jeans and a t-shirt and she was decked to the gods.
Yeah.
And I was like, just me personally, if I were Ed and I know that I was about to stand next to Beyonce, I'm not wearing that.
No, me neither.
Now, if we were just like Ed on stage by himself, you know, he's very, you know, casual. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't seen him perform, but I've seen pictures of his performance and videos, and he, you know, wears the same thing. But if I know I'm going to stand next to Beyonce,
right,
I'm not going to wear that. But there was also a thing in pop culture that came out. They were just like, again, men can get away with doing the bare minimum.
Yes.
And women come out.
Especially white men. They be doing the worst. I'm like, what are y'all even, why are you here? Like, like y'all come out with the stupidest stuff and then people are like, oh my gosh, that was so good. Like, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. I'm like, ew. Anyways. Yeah, I actually, like, we keep bringing stuff up, but I was reading this book listening to this book the other day, and they were describing a character. He was a redhead, and he's like, this guy looks like what he looks like Ed Sheeran if Ed Sheeran was attractive. I was like, oh.
Why'd they do that to Ed?
I was crying. I hope Ed Sheeran never reads this book. Because I was like, when I tell you my jaw dropped, I was like, what?
Why'd they do that to Ed? They didn't.
I was looking around like, did anybody hear that? Was just me? I was like, not Ed Sheeran if he was attractive. Oh my gosh. Anyways,
my thing is, there are so many redheads that they could have picked. They didn't even have to use Ed.
It was so funny, though. I was like crying after I processed it. I was like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen in a book in my life. But anyways, this episode is getting long. I just had to put that in there. Ed Sheeran, don't ever read The Black Flamingo by Dean Atta. It's a great book, actually. It's a really good book, so you should read it, but just skip over that line. Anyways, y'all, thank you for listening. Thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for following us on our social medias. Do we have a Twitter? No, not yet.
It's coming.
It's coming, eventually.
Under construction.
Yeah, I am banned for life on Twitter, so I cannot make it. Anyways, that's not the topic of this conversation. Thank you for listening. Our @ on Instagram is @ New Adult Playbook. You should follow us, and we are, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts, you're obviously listening to this, so keep listening, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see y'all. Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Hey. Next week will be a fun one. What will it be about? I don't know.
I think that's the week that you know, we might have special guests. We'll see.
Oh,
it'll be a surprise to y'all. It'll be a surprise to us.
Right. I guess we'll see. See you next week.
All right. Bye, y'all.